What if the worst thing that ever happened to you was actually the best? In 1348, the bubonic plague killed 60% of Europe's population, a catastrophe so profound it seemed like the end of civilization. Yet from this devastation emerged our modern economy. With labor suddenly scarce, surviving serfs gained unprecedented bargaining power. Employment contracts appeared for the first time, codifying that labor deserves compensation. Former serfs moved to cities, establishing the first true merchant class, opening banks, trading spices, creating textiles. This transformation laid the groundwork for capitalism and forever changed the relationship between workers and employers. History reveals a startling pattern. Our most devastating moments often birth our greatest innovations. The Great Depression spawned Disney and HP. World War II gave us computers and jet engines. The 2008 crisis birthed Uber, Airbnb, and Square. Crisis shifts the window on options we are willing to collectively take seriously, forcing us to higher ground we'd never have climbed voluntarily. When disruption strikes, we feel uniquely afflicted. Yet John Philip Sousa, America's most famous musician in the early 1900s, felt the same when phonographs emerged. He warned that children exposed to recordings would become simply human phonographs without soul or expression. Musicians' unions coined live music as propaganda, calling recordings dead music and striking twice in the 1940s. The irony? Sousa eventually embraced recordings when he realized they could make him money. What musicians feared became their greatest asset. Recorded music allowed them to scale globally and earn while sleeping, creating entirely new jobs like studio engineers and DJs. This pattern repeats endlessly. The ice industry fought refrigeration. Movie studios opposed VCRs. Yet here's the liberating truth. You come from the future. Everything you consider normal was once threatening to a previous generation. You are living evidence that change can be good. Our panic about new technologies follows a predictable pattern Cambridge psychologist Amy Orban calls the Sisyphean cycle of technology panics. Like Sisyphus eternally rolling his boulder uphill, society repeatedly panics about innovations, then starts again, having learned nothing. In the 1950s, adults linked pinball to juvenile delinquency. Politicians eagerly joined these moral panics because blaming technology manufacturers is easier than addressing structural issues like inequality. Scientists face pressure for quick answers, but while science requires time for consensus building, politicians demand immediate results. Consider Facebook depression, a 2011 phenomenon where pediatricians warned that teens using social media might develop depression. Years later, sophisticated research revealed technology has an insubstantial effect on psychological well-being, less than 0.5% away from feeling emotionally sound. For context, eating potatoes has nearly the same effect, and wearing glasses has a more negative impact on adolescent mental health than social media use. To escape this cycle, we must develop self-awareness about our negative reactions and transform resistance into opportunity. We fixate on potential losses while struggling to imagine future gains, which explains our initial fear of change. This loss aversion causes us to weigh losses more heavily than gains. In one experiment, people given fully loaded pizzas to modify kept more ingredients than those who started with plain pizzas and added toppings. The umbrella's introduction to 18th century England perfectly illustrates this. Despite being practical for England's constant rain, umbrellas were met with mockery. The English associated rainy climate with making them sturdy, robust, independent people. Only when London developed street culture in the early 1800s did attitudes shift. The umbrella became valuable for maintaining social activities during rain. To become more adaptable, we must extrapolate the gain by asking, what are we doing differently because of this new thing? What new skill are we learning? The 19th century novel, once criticized as addictive, became an important tool of sympathy that helped readers develop understanding of others. Change threatens our identity, making us worry about who we'll become. The key insight? We are not what we do, but why we do it. Our core skills, passions, and beliefs remain constant even as circumstances shift. TV personality Stacey London faced this at 50 when opportunities dwindled. Offered the CEO role at State of Menopause after unsuccessfully pitching a show, she hesitated, questioning if she was smart enough. To decide, she asked, "What is my kernel of truth?" She realized her menopause experience provided customer insight, and her reputation as a truth talker would serve her well addressing taboo topics. This reveals three essential questions. What did I overcome? What skills do I still possess? What can I bring forward? When the pandemic forced foodsters to abandon new product plans, they weren't devastated because their core mission, bringing joy through sweet baked goods, remained intact. The what, baking mixes, might change, but the why, bringing joy, is unchangeable. Understanding your core purpose is liberating. Dwayne Johnson realized he wanted to be a 10-lane highway approaching the world rather than just a wrestler or actor. Your why provides an anchor through all change. Blockbuster's downfall wasn't simple short-sightedness. CEO John Antioco had eliminated late fees and launched a Netflix-like subscription service. Shareholders prioritized immediate profits over long-term strategy. The lesson? Transformative change works best at peak success, not during decline. Sam Calagone of Dogfish Head Craft Brewery demonstrated this principle when his 60-minute IPA became wildly successful. By 2006, it approached 70 to 80% of sales. Instead of capitalizing, Calagone capped it at 50% of revenue. Customers screamed, liquor store owners cried, but he held firm and promoted other Dogfish beers instead. His foresight paid off. When beer trends shifted away from IPAs, Dogfish Head wasn't pigeonholed as just an IPA brand, but recognized as an innovative brewery. This strategic decision led to a $300 million sale in 2019, a deal impossible had he allowed single product dependency. The critical moment isn't when pain arrives, but at the first awareness that change is inevitable. By repeatedly asking, "What is this for?" about our skills, relationships, and services, we identify shifting purposes and uncover new opportunities without radical upheaval. You now have the tools to quiet panic, speed adaptation, build your new normal, and embrace your wouldn't-go-back moment. But the wisest advice reveals something deeper. It never stops. Life isn't about reaching endpoints, but embracing endlessness, a constant state of experimentation where all ideas have time to unfold. Not all change is inherently good. Some changes feel like setbacks. A job loss, a relationship ending, a forced relocation. But change itself is inevitable and neutral. Our response shapes its impact. The bubonic plague didn't just transform labor, it revolutionized human thinking, forcing people to accept that life contains both beauty and chaos. True opportunity exists in the unknown, in reconsidering what we once dismissed as impossible. Like dogs trained with electronic collars, humans create invisible boundaries through limiting beliefs. Companies experimenting with four-day workweeks discovered remarkable productivity gains. Microsoft Japan saw a 40% boost. Our greatest fortune isn't to achieve some static, perfect state, but to have as many tomorrows as possible, and to build them with intention, awareness, and the understanding that we are always becoming.